namely how to understand the eating of the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. This is, of course, a very difficult parsha, as all the parshios are in Bereishis, but also one which is very fundamental in terms of our being able to understand who we are, what motivates us, and even the purpose of our existence. We mentioned last time the notion that our free will is part of the very essence of who we are and why we were created, which is why some thinkers, for example, Rav Hirsch, reject the notion that the Eitz Hadas can relate to free will. After all, if free will is the essence of our existence and the purpose of our creation, so it's inconceivable that we are created without freedom. However, what we're going to focus on today is the view of the Ramban and the Rambam, both of whom do consider the chait as relating to freedom, but not necessarily do they say that man only got freedom after the sin. That would presumably be impossible, because otherwise, how could he have sinned? So this is a very complex question. We're going to begin with Ramban, which is on the left column of page 1. We'll read it very carefully. It's a very challenging Ramban, and see if we could try to understand what he's getting at. So the Ramban writes like this. We'll start from where it's bolded, which is his preferred explanation. Earlier he quoted the Rashi and Ibn Ezra. He has certain questions on what they say. We'll refer to those shortly. So the Ramban writes like this. V'ayafa be'enai, ki ha'adam haya'osa betiv'o, ma'ashiro'i lasos kefi ha'toledes. The correct interpretation is that man's original state was that he naturally did what was proper for him to do. Kasher yasu ha'shamayim b'chol tzva'am, just as the heavens and their hosts do, po'alei emes, shepu'ulasam emes, v'lo yishanu es tafkidam, they are faithful workers whose work is truth, who do not change from their prescribed course, v'ein lahem b'maaseyam ahava usina, and they don't have in their actions love or hate. So the Ramban in this piece, we're going to see, uses several analogies to describe Adam, Kodem Achet. The first one over here is he's comparing man to the celestial beings, like the sun or the moon, in that they do what they're supposed to do naturally, without any inner conflict or tension. Now, it might be that the Ramban assumed, as the Rambam does, that the celestial beings were capable of higher thought, which is part of this comparison. We don't think of the sun and the moon as capable of thinking. The Rambam thought they were, and in fact thought that though they were lower than angels because they had some corporeal element, they were above humans in a certain intellectual sense. So human beings initially were like these celestial beings. They had a physical body, but at the same time they were capable of higher thought. But presumably, sounds like from here that they lacked free will. Presumably the sun does not wake up every morning and decide whether or not today he's going to rise or maybe take a break and sleep late. I don't know, maybe that's what So, from this initial comparison, you might be tempted to think that man initially actually lacked freedom entirely, which again would bring back the question how he could have sinned. And what I think we're going to find as we read on is that it is not that man lacked freedom initially, but man lacked ratzon. Now, we're not going to define ratzon just yet. It's a very important word. But I think a translation will emerge from the Ramban's presentation. But obviously the notion of ratzon somehow connotes will, desire, and the like. So, man was originally like these celestial beings that were faithful workers who do their jobs, and he notes that they have no ava o sinna, they have no love or hate, which are emotions. Now, the Ramban tells us what changed. Upri ha'ilan hazeh hayamolid haratzon v'hachefetz sheyivcheru ochlav b'davar o b'hipucho letov o lira. What changed was that when he ate this fruit, that gave will to ratzon and chefetz, to will, to desire, which allows a person to choose between a thing or its opposite, between tov and ra. And that's exactly what the pasuk says. This was the Eitz Hadas Tov Ra. It allowed for yediyah of tov and ra. Not just yediyah in the sense of knowing, but in the sense of choosing. That's what chefet and ratzon is. So, he doesn't say that man got freedom. He didn't get bechira, because he had bechira beforehand, I believe. But rather, what he gained was chefetz v'ratzon. And the Ramban makes this point a little more explicitly in his comments on Dvarim. So switch for a moment to page 2, where you see his comments on Dvarim, which I think are very parallel to this and helpful for understanding each other. We'll go back to the Ramban in Bereishis. But if you look over here, he writes, Ki mizman habriya haisa reshus biyad ha'adam lasos kirtzono tzadik o rasha, meaning to say from the time of Bria, from the time of creation, presumably that means initially in creation, a person had the reshus to be a tzadik o rasha, avalimos ha-mashiach tia b'chira b'tov lahem teva, lo yisave lahem ha-lev, lema she'enu ra'oi, lo yachbot bo klau. So, we're going to get back to this as well. Bimos ha-mashiach, the Ramban writes, we're not going to have bechira, at least in the same way, because we will naturally do what is right. We're not going to have this desire for that which is not good for us. V'yashuv ha'adam bizman hahu, in other words, bimos ha-mashiach, la'asher haya kodem cheto, shal adam arishon, shaya ose betiv'o, in other words, Ramban writes that initially a person would naturally do what's healthy. He would copulate for the purpose of procreation. He would eat for the purpose of having strength and being healthy. And that, of course, contrasts our current state, where we want davar v'hipucho. For example, we want two opposite things. On the one hand, I want to be very healthy. On the other hand, I like to eat foods that are sweet or fatty or the like. And I'm aware of the consequences. I'm aware of the long-term consequences of eating unhealthy food, that they can cause heart disease. I'm aware of the short-term consequences of unhealthy food. Maybe by eating all this cake or candy, I'll get a stomachache or a toothache, but at the same time, though I am aware of these consequences, I desire it. So, I have a desire for davar v'hipucho. I want both things. I want to be healthy, but I also want dessert. I want to do ratzon Hashem, and I also want pleasure. That internal tension, the Ramban writes, was the result of eating from the Eitz Hadas. And it's that internal tension that A, man lacked originally, and B, man will lack b'yamos ha-mashiach. So now, let's go back to where we left off in his comments on Bereishis, back to page 1. V'lachein nikra Eitz Hadas tovara, ki hada'as Yomar bilshonenu al haratzon. When we use the term das, we're referring to ratzon. How do we see this? Kilshonam loshanu ala shedaito lachzor. We see this in the Lashon of Chazal, for example. Daito lachzor means ritzono lachzor. The shedaito lefnoso. The Lashon HaKasov, Ma adam v'teda'ehu. What does that mean? Ma adam v'teda'ehu. Does it mean God will know him? No, God knows him. It means God will desire him. Tachbots v'tirtzebo. Or yidaticha b'shem. There again, it doesn't mean that Moshe happened. You know, God knew Moshe, or Klal Yisrael, more than anybody else. It means b'charticha mikol ha'adam. V'chein, ma'amar barzilai ha'adam, ha'ida ben tov la'ra. So Ramban gives us a number of examples of where the term das means ratzon. And I think the most powerful example here is what he's about to quote from the story of the Barzilai, from Shmuel Beis, where the Torah itself uses almost the identical phrase to what it does over here in terms of Yediyas Tov V'ra. That, as far as I know, is the only other place where we have this phrase. Let's just remember the context of the story, and then we'll read the Ramban's quotation of it.
Just a clarifier. Are we still in Ramban and Bereshis?
Yeah, Bereshis. We went back. There's only one. Right, so the Ramban here is quoting the Mamar of Barzilai. So remember, what was the context over there? Following Avshalom's insurrection, David HaMelech wanted to help the Barzilai, who supported him, and Barzilai responds, Ben Shmonim Shana Anochi Hayom, Ha'eda Ben Tov L'ra, Im Yitam Avdecha Es Asher Ochal, Ves Asher Eshteh, Im Eshma Od Bekol Sharim V'Sharos. So I'm 80 years old today. Ha'eda, which Ben Tov L'ra, right? I'm no longer capable of Yediya Ben Tov L'ra, right? Can I taste what I eat or drink? Can I enjoy the singers and the singstresses? I don't know. Right? So what's the Barzilai saying? Basically saying, look, I'm too old to enjoy the types of things that you, David HaMelech, might wish to give me. Right? Ha'idah ben tov l'ra. The Ibn Ezra already notes over here the connection to that pasuk. Now, the Ibn Ezra takes that to mean that it's referring to sexual desire. And he writes that's why after the chet of Adam HaRishon, Adam and Chava feel the need to cover their private parts. The Ramban says that's not correct because, among other things, we're talking about Vayisem Kelokim Yodei Tov V'ra. Now, sexual desire is not a godlike quality. You shall be like Elokim. So, it can't be that Eida Ben Tov L'ra is simply a reference to sexual desire. Rather, it's a reference to Ratzon, as he proved from all those examples before. And as we shall see in a moment, God has Ratzon. Adam, Kodem Eitz, Kodem Achet, lacked Ratzon. He was like Barzilai, who, due to his old age, lacked Ratzon, right? So far we have Ramban comparing Adam Kodem Achet to both the son and the Barzilai. Now, each one, as we'll see, is not perfect. Sort of between the two of them, we'll get a better impression of what Adam was. Now, let's go on to Ramban. He's going to depict what is life like without Ratzon. And again, we know that's going to be life kodem the chait, and also bimos haMashiach. V'inei be'etz hazos, lo haya ben Adam v'ishto haMishkal l'taiva. At this point, Mishkal, Tashma Shamita, was not associated with taiva, with desire. Aval be'etz haolada, yischabru v'yolidu. At the right time, at the time of conception, so they would be together, they would propagate. V'lachein, hayu ha'ivarim kulam be'ineim, kipanim v'yadayim v'lo yisbashashubam. So naturally then, the evarim associated with Tashmish were like the hands, the feet, these were tools to do what was necessary. what about after the chait? Vine acharei achlo min ha'etz, ha'isa biyado ha'bechira. Uvirtsono laharau lehetev. Bein lo, bein la'acherim. So here's a key line. After the chait, he had bechira. Now, this word would seem to somewhat undermine what we're saying, because it implies that he didn't have bechira beforehand. We're going to get back to that question. What happened? Uvirtsono, now he had the ratzon, lahara o lehetev, to do good or bad, bein lo, bein lachirim, either to himself or to others. So, we're going to carefully explain that in a moment. So, what's he saying? Post-chet, there was the ratzon, lahara o lehetev, which is fascinating, right? It implies that the ability to do good to other people, chesed, didn't exist kodem the chait, just like the ability to harm another person didn't exist. And he explains, v'zu mida elokis mitzad echad. So on the one hand, there's a positive element here. This is a God-like attribute, right? Ve'yisem kelokim yod e tovara. But also, v'ra le'adam, but it's also bad for man, bios bo yetzer v'taiva, because it introduces the yetzer v'taiva. So, let's go back to that beginning of this sentence. So we said that with the eating, man possessed bechira. So you could read this as saying, man only got bechira post-chait. That's the way Rabbi Yitzchak Arama and Yabar Benel both understand Ramban, for example, and for that reason actually reject him. I think in light of what we saw earlier, as well as his comments in the Ramban and Devarim, it seems to me like he's saying something else. Bechira, in the sense of ability to choose, is something that man always had. Hence, he was able to choose. Rather, though he was created with free choice, his struggles at that point, to the extent that they existed, were totally different than ours. Because most, if not all of our sins, are rooted in our desires of some sort, right? This is certainly true with respect to base iniquities, things that are involving food or lust, but even with respect to things like envy or kavod or the like, all the types of things that we do and later regret are all associated with ratzon. Even avodah zarah, which you could have argued is an intellectual mistake, the Gemara says fundamentally, is not an intellectual mistake. People sinned with avodah zarah because they wished lahati arayos. So the way we experience bechira was totally different than the way Adam experienced bechira, in the sense that he lacked ratzon, which is why Ramban uses the word bechira over here. Because bechira really changed once a person had ratzon. And now, the Ramban says a fascinating thing. So he says that initially, he had no ability to do good or bad to himself or to others. Now, what does that mean? So this goes back to that first sentence where the Ramban said you couldn't love or hate before consuming the food. And that's because these types of emotions, love or hate, is something that is shayach only once a person lacks ratzon, has ratzon. What does that mean? Why? Obviously, I'm not going to lahara, I'm not going to harm somebody if I don't have ratzon, right? Why would I harm you if I lacked ratzon? But why does the Ramban say I wouldn't be native to you without ratzon? The answer is, when a person lacks ratzon, so he can't relate to somebody else's needs. Everything exists for its purpose, right? I eat food because I need to be able to do what I need to do. It's like gas in a car. It doesn't matter how it tastes. And if I lack food, so I can't do what I'm supposed to do. The car isn't hungry when it runs out of gas. It's not thirsty. If everything is just very technical, in a world without ratzon, So if you're sad, I can't relate to that and try to cheer you up, because the notion of sadness has no meaning to me. And even if you're hungry, so, okay, if you don't have food, you can't do mitzvos. Good, obviously, that's not going to be your job for today, because you don't have food, right? There's no, it's not shayach to be mative or to harm or the like. Those types of feelings are irrelevant, they're meaningless in a world without ratzon, where the completion of one's task is the sole focus. So, to summarize, what have we seen before? Man initially was created without ratzon. He had bechira, because he did in fact sin, but lack of ratzon. Now obviously then the question we have to figure out is, why, what would motivate a person to sin in a world without ratzon? In other words, Adam sin. Okay, most of the types of sins that we have were not shayach in a world without ratzon. But Adam did in fact manage to be chote. Again, maybe a different type of chet, but he was chote. So what would have possibly motivated him to be chote in a world without ratzon? So the answer is what the pasuk says, which is what tempts man? Ve'yisem kelokim yodei tov hara. It's the desire, or maybe the desire is the wrong word, but it's wanting to be godlike. Now, let's try to understand this. So we said before that in the world without ratzon, it's not shayach to love or to hate. It's not shayach to be mative or to be meira. So those types of things, to love, to be mative, those were positive things, and in fact godlike things, that Adam lacked before he had ratzon. Ramban frequently stresses that ratzon and chefetz are qualities of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ramban writes that it was because of ratzon that he took us out of Egypt. In last week's parsha, in the Aseres Hadibros, on Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Ramban writes that the story, for example, of Yitzhak Mitzrayim shows Me'ito haya kol b'chefetz uveratzon. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the world, his bechira of the Jewish people, his Yitzhak Mitzrayim, all those are reflections of chefetz uveratzon. So what does the snake do? He entices man with this tantalizing possibility to be godlike, to be able to choose good over evil from the perspective of ratzon. And that is what changed. And in fact, there was some merit to this argument, right? Like the Ramban says, this is in fact a midas elokis mitzad achad. The way the Rabbeinu Bachya puts it when summarizing the Ramban is zumida elokis umida tova mitzad achad v'ra mitzad acher. It's both good and bad. But there is this positive element to it, which is, by the way, presumably why Hashem created the Eitz Hadas in the first place. It was created for a purpose and served a role. Now, let's try to understand this a little better. So what is this positive side to ratzon? So first of all, being able to see two possibilities and then choose, see two possibilities as, in a sense, reasonable possibilities, but then choose to do what's right. So that is an incredible thing. Now, sometimes the reason why we see two possibilities stems from our blindness. And it stems from the fact that we desire that which harms us. Right? If we go back to the very base analogy of choosing whether or not to eat candy. So, I see two possibilities. Should I eat the candy or not? Why do I see two reasonable possibilities? Well, in a certain sense, it comes from my blindness, from my dimyonos, in terms of the value of the pleasure that I'll get from the sweetness of the candy. But at the same time, I do have that possibility because of that ratzon. And if that's true, if there is this positive side, now, let's explain. That aspect of blindness is not something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares with us. In other words, even though in a certain sense we're godlike, when we got this ability to be bocher, this ratzon, our bechira often stems from our blindness as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bechira. But it is, like we said, it is midas elokis mitzad echad. So what was so bad about it, once we think about it that way? If eating from the Eitz Hadas gave us the ability to serve God in a way that we were unable to serve Him, kodem ar achila from the Eitz Hadas tova ra, if that was something that we gained, so now, what was so bad about it? So the answer is obvious, because Hashem told us not to do it. We contravened the divine command. So how could we do that? So the answer, as Rabbeinu Bachi explains when explaining the Ramban, is that it was an external agent, in this case the snake, that convinced Chava and then Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas Tova Ra. In other words, while we would not have independently considered consuming the fruit because we lacked ratzon, but we could be convinced by the snake's argument to defy God's command. And some thinkers add to that was still only because the snake was fundamentally arguing that we had the ability to do good, to do tov, in a way that we couldn't do prior to the consumption. Right? And that's what will help us understand what we mean by the Yetzer Hara and the internalization of the Yetzer Hara. We're going to talk a little bit about more what the Yetzer Hara is. Is it something outside of us? Something that's outside of us that's become part of us? Is it part of us? Let's try to explain that a little better in a couple minutes, but let's first begin with a comment of the Nefesh Chaim. Nefesh Chaim writes that what happened with this transformation, it changed our spiritual composition. Before we ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, so we experienced, to the extent that we had, there was temptation. It was external temptation. It wasn't internalized. It wasn't part of us. It was something outside of us, like the Nachash. The introduction of Ratzon caused the Yetzer Hara to become internalized. Meaning to say that there was now this mixture of tov hara in the human personality. Like the Ramban said, that's why we desire davar vihipucho. We have desires for opposite things. That's what leads to the inner conflict. In fact, the Nefesh Chaim writes that following the consumption of the Eitz Hadas tov hara, it's almost impossible to do something entirely for purely altruistic reasons. There is always mixed into our virtuous motivations some desire for personal gain. And likewise, when we have negative actions, there's also mixed into this some type of desire to do good. Right? Rarely, when a person struggles with something, is the Yetzer Hara, as it were, telling us, do this because it's evil. There's an argument that there's going to be some good that can come out of this action. So, because it has become internalized, almost everything we do has some element of good and some element of bad. That's what the Ramban says over there in Sefer Dvarim, will be removed b'yamos HaMashiach. The Torah refers to this as Umal Hashem Elokecha, Es Levavcha in Parshas Nitzavim. He's going to remove that Arlas Halev. What does it mean to remove the foreskin, the Arlas Halev? It's the idea that, again, we will desire to do what's right naturally. we won't have that internal blending of davar v'hipucho. Right? Let's actually go back to that that Ramban from Dvarim, again on page 2. We'll see how he expresses that, which I think is helpful. Liyamosa Mashiach, tia bechira betov lahem teva. Lo yis'ave lahem halev, lamash in a row lo yachbots boklal. So doing good will be natural. You're not going to desire that which is not good for you. V'yashav Adam isman ahu, l'asher hayakodim cheto, shal Adam arishon. Shayosa betivo masheroi lasos, v'loaya bertzon odav ravipucho. V'zeo she'amu rabosenu, v'igyu shanim asher tomar ein li bahem chefetz. This is what Chazal say, that Yemos HaMashiach are referred to days asher ein b'am chayfetz. It's a pasuk in Koheles. What are yamim she'ein b'am chayfetz? It's so beautiful, the Ramban says, because what happened when we ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov HaRa? We had chayfetz. So what are yamim, right, asher ein b'am chayfetz? Those are globally Yemos HaMashiach, and perhaps personally, old age, like we saw by the Barzilai, right? Elu Yemos HaMashiach, she'en b'am lo z'chus v'lo chova. The Gemara says, these are the Yemos HaMashiach where there's no z'chus v'chova. Why not? What does that mean? Why won't I be rewarded for doing what's right, the Yemos HaMashiach? Says the Ramban, ki b'yemei HaMashiach lo yia b'adam chefetz, aval yase b'tiv'o ha'maisa ha'ra'oi. Since there's not going to be chayfetz, they're yamim asher ein bam chayfetz, so a person will naturally do that which is right. Lefikach ein bam lo schus v'lo chova, ki as schus v'achova tuluyim b'chayfetz. Schus v'chova, merit, guilt, are all tuluy in chayfetz. The truth is, this is machlokas and chazal. Ramban takes for granted the opinion that, over here, that Yemos HaMashiach are yamim she'ein bam chayfetz. Maybe we'll talk about the other position in Chazal when we talk more about Yemos HaMashiach. But for now, let's try to understand what he's saying. So, on a simplistic level, Ramban is simply saying, L'fum tzara agra, no pain, no gain. Right? Since the Yemos HaMashiach, what we do will naturally want what's good, and will naturally abhor what is bad. So, why would we be rewarded for choosing good if, after all, that comes naturally? That's the simple reading, what he's saying. But I think if we read it a little more carefully, he's saying something else as well, which is that reward comes from our overcoming our nature to become somebody else. It is a natural reward. The reward, which he's describing, is Olam Haba, the ultimate reward, is something that stems from it is a natural consequence of our overcoming our natural desires to become something else, to become somebody good, to become somebody spiritual. When we make ourselves spiritual, then we can enjoy a spiritual state of existence, which is Olam Haba. It's a natural consequence of overcoming our nature. Naturally, then, when our nature is good, when we don't have that desire to do wrong, when there's no battle to overcome our nature to do what's right, so it's not shayach schar va'onesh. Right now, before the coming of Mashiach, we have the ability to be moshel beruchel. That's the lashon of the pasuk in Mishlei. Moshel beruchel. We have this ruach, and we could be moshel beruchel. We won't have that. If you want to think of it a little differently, but I think this is helpful for understanding the Ramban. So we're taught, that there are three aspects of our neshama. The nefesh, ruach, and neshama. There are two higher aspects, which we can't really relate to, but in terms of the aspects of ourselves that we can perceive and relate to, at least most of us. So we have the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. What are these three things? So the nefesh relates to the guf, the ruach relates to the ratzon, and the neshama relates to the seichel. To put it a little differently, the the nefesh of Bahamas, is something that we share with animals. Animals also have a nefesh, right? As we see in the first parsha of Bereishis. The neshama, the seichel, is something that we share with malachim. The animals and angels both lack bechira, because the animal only has the nefesh, so they might make choices. Should I graze in this field or graze in that field? But there's no real bechira between tov v'ra, because if all you have is this nefesh abahamis, so you'll have instincts, you'll have physical desires, but there's no place for bechira. Likewise, a malach, who only is shayach to the neshama, to the sichli, also lacks bechira. Our ability, like we saw in the Ramban, our ability to choose, our desire to choose, comes in a sense from the introduction of tovara, this ratzon that sometimes obscures, you know, from the perspective of the seichel. So most of the things that we struggle with aren't really going to be struggles. It's pretty straightforward what we choose, but we're not just sichli, and that's why malachim don't really have bechira either. Another time perhaps we could discuss what chazal mean in certain places when they talk about chataim of malachim and the like, but not for now. So malachim don't have bechira either. So what do we have? What makes humans humans? It's the ruach, right? And like we said, that you could be moshel barucho in the lashon of the pasuk in Mishlei. The Rishonim compare the nefesh, ruach, and neshama to the nefesh is compared to klaios, the kidneys, the ruach to the lev, and the neshama to the seichel, right? That doesn't mean to say that the heart is the seat of emotions in the literal sense. The heart is a muscle that pumps blood, and I don't know what the kleos have to do with anything. It's a mushel. It relates to these three aspects of our neshama: the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. The kleos reflect our nefesh abahamis, that which we share with animals. The seichel reflects the neshama, that which we share with malachim. What makes us human is the ruach. That's where our bechira lies. That's what changed with the eating of the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. That's where we struggle. That's where we can have emotions like love and hatred. That's why a person, for example, goes ahead. You know, you'll sometimes figure like, it's Friday night. Should I eat more dessert? Should I go to the base medrash? I don't know. So who's me? Right? I really want another piece of chocolate cake. We are our ruach more than anything else. And we can tap into the neshama, and a person ultimately can transform themselves to be moshel berucho, or we can be ruled by our nefesh. Okay, so let's go back to what we were saying. So, we asked, how could Adam be chote if he lacked free will? And I think we've tried to answer that question in terms of understanding how it is that we changed. It was v'yisem kelokim yodei tov hara, something that's tov mitzad echad, because we are godlike in our having ratzon, but also it's this quality that leads to all this obfuscation that causes us to so frequently choose poorly. Yes? It was, so I think we stress two elements. We see two elements in the Ramban. One is that it came michutz, right, in the case of the Nachash. It wasn't something that could come from within because he lacked ratzon. But second of all, it was the desire to be yodei v'yisem kelokim, to be obeyed Hashem in a way that he couldn't do without Ratzon. To be Kelokim, to be able to be Meitiv, to be able to do mitzvos from a perspective of Bechira, of desiring Davar V'Puchho, but still choosing what's right. That ability to do good in that sense, to be Obed Hashem in that sense, to be have Ratzon like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, was something that he lacked. And that was something, therefore, that he could be convinced to want. So that Ratzon came Michutz. That's, I think, what the Rabbeinu Bachya and Ramban are saying, why it had to be that Kodem the Chait, it was from the Nachash, from Michutz. In other words, he could be convinced from outside on a level of Seichel, because remember, he exists originally in Seichel, he had no Ratzon, but from a level of Seichel, the Nachash could convince him that this is better.
Before the Nachash, though, he didn't have that Ratzon, but then after the Nachash, he had...
The Nachash, I think, again, this is hard to understand, but my understanding is that the Nachash could convince him on a level of Seichel that Ratzon is advantageous in his Avodas Hashem, if you want to put it that way.
But what did that mean? That, like, there was a decision, like, that he changed? Like,
He decided to change himself, right? To transform himself, to lower himself, but give himself opportunities that he didn't have. Yes.
Rabbi said before that we identify most closely with our ruach.
Yes.
So doesn't that apply that our existence is somewhat fleeting then? Like, because the ruach implies sort of, like, based on my understanding, ruach implies sort of like emotional.
It includes emotions. That's ruach is definitely, it relates to ratzon, and that's emotions. Now we have to explain a little more.
How are we defining ruach then?
The Ramban believes, And this is a bigger topic, maybe we'll talk about it another time, that all three aspects of us are actually part of us. Meaning to say, that's why, I think we referred to this in the first semester, why the Ramban thinks that Olam Haba involves a guf, right? In other words, the Rambam says that Olam Haba is just the Seichel, right? Because that's what will live eternally. And the Ramban says no, it includes the Seichel and the Guf, the Neshama and the Guf, because really all of us, right, all five levels of the Neshama are us. But what I was saying is we identify most with the Seichel. That's where we experience our Bechira. Okay,
sorry, I'm just a little confused. Where in the Ramban do we discuss the nefesh, the ruach, and the...
He doesn't discuss it. I use those terms here, at least. He doesn't discuss it. I'm using those terms to help us understand it. He refers to ruach, but...
In this part, I
think so.
Bar?
No, in terms of his discussion of ratzon. Like, but...
Elsewhere, not on this.
Yeah. Yes?
So, if we look at, like, Noach, can we use a similar analogy? That he didn't necessarily, he wasn't necessarily rewarded by being chosen to proceed. Rather, you know, he was given an option to make a conscious calculation to change his fundamental nature. To
maybe that's one way to look at it.
He did have
something to think about.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have too much time left, but I wanted to try to, at the very least, in the time we have to try to understand the position of the Rambam, which, as we'll see in a moment, is similar in certain ways, but also different from the Ramban. So, to focus on the Rambam, you have this on page 3, the right column. To focus on the Rambam, let's look at the Pasuk carefully. You have that, again, middle of page 3, right column, on the Pasuk. Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Hein Adam Haya Kechad Mimenu, Lada'as Tovara, Ve'ata pen yishlach yadov la'kach me'etz ha'chayim ve'achal ve'chay li'olam. So, let's read, he even tells us a little story in this chapter of Mo Nevuchim. So we'll read it together. Years ago, a learned man propounded as a challenge to me, a curious objection. This is what the objector said. It is manifest from the clear sense of the biblical text that the primary purpose with regard to man was that he should be, as the other animals are, devoid of intellect or thought, and of the capacity to distinguish between good and evil. However, when he disobeyed, his disobedience procured him, as its necessary consequence, the great perfection peculiar to man. Now, it is a thing to be wondered that man's punishment for disobedience should consist in his being granted a perfection that he did not possess before, namely the intellect. So what's the kasha that this guy asks? Very good kasha, right? When you read the Torah, it sounds like God does not wish for us to have knowledge, right? Because we're not yet Yisem Kelokim Yodei Tov V'ra. So God says, do not eat from the tree of knowledge. Then man disobeys. He eats from the tree of knowledge, and he's punished by being granted knowledge. Right? Kechad mimenu yodei tov v'ra. Now, this is very silly, the questioner asks. Our greatest gift is our intellect. Right? Yediyah tov v'ra. Yisem kelokim. Why would man be punished by being granted this greatest of gifts? Almost like, originally man was supposed to be like an animal, right, lacking seichel, and then when he messes up, he's granted this gift. Which doesn't seem to make any sense. So the Rambam answers this question first by noting that man was created as an intellectual being. He alone was given a mitzvah. It's because he was created as an intellectual being that he was given a mitzvah at the very beginning, unlike all the animals. For the intellect that God made overflow into man, and that is the latter's ultimate perfection, was that which Adam had been provided with before he disobeyed. It was because of this that it was said of him that he was created in the image of God and in his likeness. This is what the Rambam explains in the first paragraph, what Tzelem Elokim means. The notion of the word Tzelem refers to some abstract quality that both man and God possess, and that's the ability to reason. So, Rambam then answers this person's question by saying you have to pay very close attention to the words that are being used here, which is, what did we gain, or not gain, I guess, punished with? What changed? We entered a world of Tov V'ra. Yod-e Tov V'ra. That is what changed. Now, what does Tov V'ra mean? So Tov V'ra could be compared to or contrasted with Emes V'Sheker, which is the world and the way of perception that man initially had. Emes v'sheker reflect objective reality. They stem from the intellect. You could say, for example, that it is true that the world is spherical. You wouldn't say it is tov that the world is spherical. On the other hand, if I say your shirt looks, I wouldn't say emes, I would say tov. Your shirt looks good, right? Because Tov V'ra, the Rambam says, reflect convention, not objective reality. That's why he says that it was only after we entered the world of Tov V'ra that there was shame in nakedness. Because nakedness is not objectively problematic. There is nothing wrong in any objective sense with being undressed. But in the world of Tov V'ra, which is a world of convention and not objective reality, like we said, clothing, we would use the word tov. So in that world, we began to experience shame in nakedness. Let's read on in the Rambam. Through the intellect, one distinguishes between emes and sheker. And that was found in Adam in its perfection and integrity. Tov v'ra, on the other hand, belong to the category of things generally accepted, known as mefursamos, So this is a word we're going to try to translate, very hard to translate, but we're going to see what the Rambam means. Not to the category of muskalos, which are things cognized by the intellect. So the Rambam is contrasting meforsamos, which is shayach to the world of tov v'ra, versus muskalos, which is shayach to the world of emes v'sheker. Right? And here is his examples. Accordingly, when man was in his most perfect and excellent state, in accordance with his inborn disposition and possessed of his intellectual cognitions, because of that which is said about him, that you're almost like angels, right? He had no faculty that was engaged in any way in the consideration of meforsamos, things generally accepted. He didn't apprehend them, right? The Rambam writes specifically, with regard to that, to what is of necessity, there is no emes tov v'ra, but only emes v'sheker, right? Again, sort of like the Ramban said, when it comes to eating, so you eat in order to live from the world of emes v'sheker. Qualities like taste or appearance are totally irrelevant from the world of emes v'sheker. Doesn't matter what the food tastes like, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Those are only qualities that exist in the world of tov v'ra. Now, the Rambam then says, let's look very carefully at what caused, in this case initially, woman to sin, right? So the pasuk is, Vatera ha'isha ki tov ha'etz l'machal v'chisa'ava hu l'einayim v'nechmad ha'etz l'haskil. Right, so let's look at the words that were used here. Tov, ta'ava, nechmad. What the pasuk tells us, the Rambam says, is that once humans began looking at the tree in this non-intellectual fashion, eating almost naturally followed. It naturally followed, because once you start looking at something from the perspective of tov v'ra, the fall of man, if you want to call it a fall, took place not when he ate, but one sentence earlier, the beginning of that pasuk, when he and she start to look at the world, at the tree, from a perspective of tov, ta'ava, nechmad. Right, take a look at the Rambam, back to the Rambam. However, when he disobeyed and inclined toward his desires of the imagination and the pleasures of the corporeal senses, inasmuch as it said, and the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, he was punished by being deprived of that intellectual apprehension. It's a remarkable thing. What was the chait? It was looking at it from this perspective. He was deprived, he was punished by that deprivation of the intellectual apprehension, and he therefore disobeyed the commandment and actually ate. Right? It's quite a fascinating perspective. Once man's perspective changed in the universe, it was almost inevitable that he would eat. So the questioner in the Mor Nevuchim was absolutely wrong. Once man sinned and considered matters from a non-intellectual perspective, right, seeing something as nechmad le'inayim, so he lost that, or at least an element of that intellectual cognition. He's going to view the world through the lens of tov v'ra and relative social norms. Right, and that's actually how the Rambam understands v'isam kelohim. It's not actually like godlike, but he understands it as like judges who rule over states. Now, from this perspective, it was so what happened? So Rambam agrees that man was created with free will as well. What changed was not freedom, but perception. Again, originally he sees the world from Emes V'Sheker, and now he sees the world as Tov HaRa. So like the Ramban, though, in both the Ramban and the Rambam, man starts off from a perspective of clarity, in which sinning was incomprehensible, and what changed was he entered a world where discerning right from wrong became a struggle. What's different, well, let's start with this. What is meant by mephorsamos, right? This thing that man originally couldn't perceive. So very briefly, I think we could have two approaches to this. I prefer the latter, but I think they're both two plausible readings which are actually quite different from each other. The first possibility is that man initially lacked awareness of moral virtues. If you look at the Rambam's treatise on logic, a book not usually studied, the Rambam writes that mephorsamos have a rational basis that is weaker than that which is demonstrable, that which could be proven, but is also true. And it has a role in determining the moral propriety of a particular act, right? In Shmona Prakim, the Rambam compares rational virtue to moral virtue. Rational virtue is muskalos. Moral virtue is mephorsamos. So if that reading is correct, then the Rambam is saying that a person initially was created with no access to these moral virtues. And a line here might support this reading, because he writes, among these generally accepted things, even that which is most manifestly bad, namely uncovering the genitals, was not bad according to him, namely prior to sin, and he did not apprehend it was bad. So in this case, the word ra sounds like he might be saying it's morally reprehensible. Now, the problem with this mahalach, I think, is that if that were true, then the questioner is right in a certain sense. In other words, man did gain insofar as he ate from the Eitz HaDaas Tov HaRa, because by eating from the Eitz HaDaas Tov HaRa, he had access to mephorsamos, which includes moral virtue. Now, you could say that it's true, but that's not really a shaila, because moral virtues have no purpose in the world of muskalos, and therefore, overall, he didn't gain anything. But that's one way to read this. The second approach to read this, this is the way the Rav reads it, is mephorsamos doesn't mean in this context. Mephorsamos might have different meanings. Rambam might use it differently elsewhere. But in this context, mephorsamos refers to aesthetic qualities, like taste and appearance. And that stems from the examples that he keeps on giving for mephorsamos in this parak. Things like taste and appearance, like the words of the pasuk, nechmad, and the like. And these qualities have no virtue in the world of emes v'sheker. So the Rambam's talking about things like beauty, taste, and the like. Now, if you take this approach, it's much easier to understand why the questioner's approach was totally wrong. And according to this approach, even nakedness is not inherently wrong. Now, support for this view comes from the way the Rambam understands the pasuk, when the pasuk refers to opening up of the eyes. He writes over there that what does it mean, v'nifkechu einei shneichem? Man changed the direction towards which he tended and took as his objective the very previous commandment had been the very thing a previous commandment had bidden him not to aim at. So that's the other mahalik. I'll just read to you the way the Rav puts it, and I guess I'll have to stop here. Man is both an intellectual and ethical being. In distinguishing between the contrasting pairs of emes v'sheker and tov hara, Rambam does not discriminate between theoretical truth and falsity and moral right and wrong, as many historians have erroneously assumed. I think that's the classical academic way of reading the Rambam. Instead, he set up an opposition between the cognitive ethical truth and falsity on the one hand, and propriety and impropriety, what is pleasing or displeasing in an aesthetic sense on the other hand. Rambam translates the words Tov HaRa in the story of the original fall as meaning pleasant and unpleasant, the comfortable and uncomfortable, the delightful and the ugly. That's what Tov HaRa means. What caused man's fall is his giving preference to the sensuous, delightful, and pleasing over the true at both intellectual and ethical levels. Basically, the sin, according to the Rav, was rooted in overemphasizing the importance of the pleasing and the beautiful. And the sin's consequence results in manifest itself in a false axiological assessment of man's experience, giving priority to the aesthetic behavior. And a riot to this, I think, was something else the Rambam writes, which was what, it was almost a type of greed that motivated Adam to sin. This is a very interesting thing to think about in terms of the role of the aesthetic, the role of Tov, Vira, the role of convention in our world. What we are, what we strive to be, how we could overcome that and become people that are rooted in Emes V'Sheker and not in a Tov V'Ra. But anyway, we're out of time. So these very important topics, we're not going to go back to. I recommend you all maybe carefully read these two paragraphs in the Rambam again, in the chapter in the Rambam, and I think they'll help you understand these very complex but really very fundamental yesodos. That is an excellent question. When we talk about Emes Mashiach, we'll talk about it. Why would we want to shed our Bechira, at least the Bechira as we presently experience it?
The answer makes sense, but like it's hard to relate to one on an emotional level.
It's that's exactly correct. In other words, our ability to come close to God will totally change. But again, this is a broader topic. We can't. Something to think about, and maybe Bezos Hashem will have a chance to return to it.